From Centered, welcome to the Take Root podcast, where our purpose is to share testimonies that encourage you to deepen your roots of faith. Join host Karen Johnson to hear stories of those who have experienced God directing their own lives to a deeper, engaged faith.
So hello, friends. Today I have the joy of introducing you to my friend Levi Davenport, who is the president of C3 Leaders, a ministry dedicated to encouraging business leaders to impact the world, that being community, commerce, and culture, by centering their lives and leadership in Christ. Previously, Levi was director of career development and corporate relations at Northwest University for over 12 years. He's married, has a darling little 8-month-old girl, and I am excited to share his story with you today. So welcome, Levi. Glad you're here.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you. Hey, could we just start by, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, where you grew up, what kind of your background?
Yeah, of course. So I'm originally from Texas. So I'm 41 now. So I was born in 1982. I bounced around for college. I went to a small Bible school in Colorado for 2 years. And then I went back to a small school in Texas. And then I transferred to a school in Arkansas called John Brown University in Siloam Springs. And I did my undergrad and graduate work there. And then I knew I wanted to work with students. I had been an RA for 2 years in undergrad, loved higher education, loved students. So I moved to Seattle in 2007 to work at Seattle Pacific University in student development. And I worked there from 2007 to 2010. And then in 2010, I went over to Northwest University and I worked at NU up until about 10 months ago. So 2010 to 2023. And I was in 5 different roles at NU. The one I did for the longest though, for about a decade, I was the director of career development and corporate relations. So I helped students find internships and jobs. I worked with a lot of business owners in the area, helping them with their staffing. And it was phenomenal. I love Northwest University and had a great time doing that. And it wasn't until about 10 months ago that I transitioned over to president of C3 Leaders.
Yeah. And what a great transition that's been already, I would say, from my perspective.
I love it. Yeah, I totally love it. And, you know, I met so that's sort of the professional resume side of Levi, if you will. And then the more in-depth, transparent look is I was, so what would have been around 2010, 2011, I got married to a woman that also worked at SPU, was married for 7 years, and then we got divorced. She wanted to be done. We had tried a lot of counseling and she just was finally at the point where she didn't want to go. I begged her to stay and mm-hmm. she didn't want to. And obviously I'm not saying like she was a horrible person and it's all her fault. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like it takes two. But there was no infidelity, nothing like that. It was just, she was just very unhappy. Mm-hmm. And so she left and I was really miserable. I was just so broken. I spent about a year trying to drink myself to death and it was just such a horrible time. Hmm. And then in 2019, a mutual friend of mine and Chelsea's introduced us to each other. So Chelsea is my wife now. Hmm. Chelsea's a local gal. She grew up in Edmonds. She went to King's, then she went to Wheaton. She married a guy from Wheaton and lived in LA and was married to him for 10 years. He wound up cheating on her. She found out about it, tried to work through it with him. Then he did it again. And she said, that's it. Yeah. And so she moved back up here with her folks. So this friend of ours knew both of our story, the brokenness that we'd experienced in our first marriage. And so she's like, you two need to meet each other because I really think God wants you two to meet. And so we met, we fell in love, we got married May of 2020 and it was COVID wedding, right? So just there at Heritage Hall in Kirkland, very small, just my pastor and her immediate family. So really small. And that was amazing how God redeemed that. But then, you know, the alcohol thing stuck with me, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm sober now. I've been sober a couple of years and I'm in recovery, and I love AA, and I've worked the steps, and I have a sponsor, and God really is freeing me every day from that with the help of AA. But Chelsea really stuck by me through that, because, you know, it was great that God brought us together, but then that addiction hung on. And so it really took God working on that, getting me sober. And that was an amazing journey there. And then we really wanted to have kids. Yeah. And, you know, I'm 41, I'll be 42 in May, Chelsea's 37. And so at the time, this was 2 years ago that, so we tried for almost a year and we're not having any luck having kids. And then she was all set to go to a specialist. I had already gone to the doctor. I had checked out, she was about to go. And then one Sunday morning at church, the pastor said, "Does anyone want prayer?" And we definitely did. And so we went up, got prayed for. And then 2 months later, we got pregnant with Shiloh, our daughter, who's now 8 months old. Yeah. So I tell you all that just to give honor to God, because that passage, the oil of joy for mourning and beauty for ashes, I read in an entirely different way now, having experienced what I've experienced and seeing God redeem me has been amazing. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing all of that. That is really vulnerable of you. And I am so thankful you've just shared that, because there are so many people out there going down that same path of that, fighting that brutal disease of addiction. And what a hard, hard journey that is. And that we, society, needs to understand it better as the disease that it is. And totally. So thanks for sharing that.
Of course. Appreciate it. Absolutely. So
a lot of this sounds like it must have really, or could be, things that really rock your faith. What is your, what's your faith journey like to begin with, and then through all of this that you're describing? That's a lot, lot of pain to work through.
Yeah, totally. So I became a Christian at a young age. I was raised in a Christian home. When I was 16, I really doubted my faith and really questioned it and really wrestled with it and really understood it better after that process. And then my time at Bible school, you know, that small Bible school I went to in Colorado, it's Torchbearers Bible School. So there's locations all over the world, right? And they're very small. Yeah. But I didn't do that because I wanted to be a pastor. I did that just because I wanted to learn more about Jesus and understand my relationship with him. And so that really helped me in my walk with the Lord through my 20s. And then when facing, you know, I look back on, you know, my decision to marry my first wife, and I can see the red flags. You know, it's funny how in hindsight you can see, like, oh gosh, Levi, I wish you hadn't chosen to do that and get married the first time, waited for Chelsea and I talked about that actually together. We're like, man, why did God not introduce us to each other earlier, right? Why did we both have to go through that pain before meeting each other? And what we've come to kind of land on is that God allowed us to make choices, and then those choices resulted in pain. But that I don't blame God for any of that pain. You know, for me being an alcoholic, I didn't get to like sign up to be an alcoholic. You know, I didn't get to choose. It's just like you're either born with it or you're not. And there's about 10% that have the chemical imbalance in the brain and the allergic reaction to it. And so I look at that, and I remember being angry at God at one point shortly after learning that I was an alcoholic. And I remember very briefly being like, God, I didn't choose this. Like, I didn't want to go through a really rough divorce, and I didn't want to be an alcoholic and an addict, why did you give me this set of cards for life, right? And it was very much like, it wasn't a very long period of time that I had that anger, that frustration, because it quickly, God gave me a lot of peace, because he said, Levi, it's okay that you're an alcoholic. It's okay that you've experienced this stuff, because I'm going to use it. I love you regardless. And I'm going to use this in a big way for other people that are dealing with not necessarily those exact things, although it has been in some of my conversations with folks, it has been those exact things, but in other things as well. And so that's probably the thing that I've learned through the process of that pain. And I understand everyone goes through a lot of pain. You know, it's funny, I will start listening to other people's stories and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I had it easy compared to what some other people go through, right? And so I think that helps kind of put things in perspective, but it really just helps me to either I do trust God and I rest in that, or I don't trust God. And I'd much rather trust God and say, okay, God, this is how this life happened. And I take ownership for some of that because I'm the one that made the decisions, but I've seen him totally bring about just amazing things because of the life I've had that he, you know, he wouldn't have brought about if my life hadn't had as much pain as it had.
That's one of those tricky things. Does he cause those things, allow those things?
Yeah.
And in the end, I guess it just doesn't matter, because like you say, we either choose to trust him.
Exactly.
And choose to believe he's a good God all the time, or we don't.
Absolutely.
And I've had similar times in my life. And that choice of trusting him, it's a lifelong choice. We have to keep choosing it.
It's every day for me, sometimes every hour. I just have to continually surrender myself to God and say, you're in control. I trust you. But yeah, I wish it was a one-time thing, but I seem to experience it a lot. So,
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you've spent many years, as you said, at Northwest University and working with businesses and connecting students to business. And now you're head of this wonderful ministry called C3 Leaders. Tell us a little bit about that and your passion behind it, for why you have chosen to lead this organization.
Yeah, I will. You know, it was not something I was looking at doing during my time at Northwest University. I loved working at Northwest University. I loved working for the president of Northwest University, Joe Castleberry.
Such a great guy.
Good friend of mine. You know, I was having a blast. He had moved me into full-time fundraising for the last year I was there, and I was having a great time and really felt like I was where the Lord wanted me. And so I had joined a C3 Leaders Forum in 2013, and I joined it, you know, it's funny, I joined C3. So C3, to give some perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell us what that is, a C3 forum.
For those listening, C3. So if you're familiar, the way I explain it is, if you're familiar with Vistage or EO, that helps a lot, because you kind of know what those organizations do, because C3 is similar to those in some ways. But basically what C3 is it connects business owners and business leaders together into small groups to support one another in their businesses and in their families and in their home. So the need that C3 met was, there were a lot of lonely Christian business owners and business leaders that were having difficulty making decisions around their business. And when they would go to ask other business owners for advice on what to do with certain situations, the advice they were getting was not based upon a biblical perspective or a faith in Jesus. Instead, it was based on the bottom line. It was based on just don't worry about the customer, try to take advantage of your competition, do all these things to make sure your bottom line is better than others. And the Christian business owners were really having a hard time with that. And so C3 is, so Pinnacle Forum was before C3, And that's a similar organization. C3 Leaders branched off from that 13 years ago. So C3 has been going on for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And what they wanted to do was to make these forums, is what they're called, available to Christian business owners, both men and women, because Pinnacle Forum was just for men. Mm-hmm. And they said, we want to make it available for women too. Mm-hmm. And we want to basically build teams around these Christian business owners so that when they go to these forum meetings, they can be very vulnerable, very transparent about, so that the way the forums operate is a check-in model. So I've been a part of three forums now, and in the forum that I'm in now, when we all meet and Levi checks in, he runs through three categories: his faith, his factory, and his family. And I rate those on a scale of 1 to 10. And then I also share an issue or a challenge I'm facing, whether it be at work, at home, or in my personal life. If I'm not facing any challenges at the time, I leave that one blank. But then also there's a question that says, what is God calling you to do? And that's my favorite question. Mm-hmm. But the forums are very much value driven. So the way business owners and business leaders share in a forum, it's in the Gestalt method. So when Levi shares, that doesn't mean it's everyone's opportunity to jump in and give advice unless Levi's asked for advice. So it's very therapeutic in that regard. And then two, it's confidential. So that's a big piece for our business owners. Some of our business owners are extremely high functioning, could be well known in the public eye. And so they don't have too many places where they can share what's going on at a very personal level with other people that they trust. So that's what C3 is. The vision is creating safe harbor for Christian business leaders to come together and to make disciples and bear fruit in the workplace. That's what it's about, to equip the business leader to be able to make an impact in their business, so that you're getting the tools you need and the ideas you need and the advice you need in the forum to then take it to your business and be able to have an impact there. So that's basically C3. There's 31 forums. There's 270 members. So we call our small groups forums. And I love it. It's absolutely fantastic. We started 5 new forums in 2023. We're set to launch 6 new forums in 2024, 4 of them being women, because in 2024, one of our big objectives is to increase the amount of women forums in C3. Because right now, out of 31 forums, we have 27 male forums and 4 female forums. So we really want to increase the accessibility of C3 leaders to our women business leaders too. That's kind of where we're headed.
Well, I can certainly share. I've been part of a C3 forum for, I think, 14 years.
Wow.
We were one of the very first, even.
So maybe I got the, Pinnacle. Got the date wrong. Totally.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just an incredible group of very high level women. And I often thought, what the heck am I doing in this group? Seriously. But anyway, they were,
I have the same thoughts,
are amazing. We've sort of had to shift. People have moved away. So we're
totally
in a transitional time, but it is an incredible ministry. And it is true that many of these people who are, running businesses, or they have whatever position they have, they feel lonely. They feel isolated. They don't feel like there's, who can I talk to about X? And so it really is it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. I'm curious to know, you have such a passion around this for so many years. What's your excitement for the future with this? And how do you see the impact growing? And besides growing the groups, I think you have some other things that are working on too.
I do. Yeah. And going back to your point about your forum, the forums I've been a part of have a shelf life. And I think that's something important to make sure members know, is that your forum isn't meant to go on indefinitely. And so in the forum that I lead now, at the start of every year, I ask the guys in my forum, okay, are you committed to this year? And they'll say yes. And then at the end of that year, we'll revisit it and say, are we re-upping? Are we not re-upping? Because I think there's definitely a shelf life for forums to where God has them for a period of time, because no one can be in a forum for their entire life, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes. So where we're going and what we're working on for 2024. So success for C3 Leaders is not just measured upon the number of forums we launch or the number of forums we have, the number of members we have, the amount of money we raise. Those are all quantifiable data points that I use because C3, it is a nonprofit, it is a 501c3, but it's very, we're very strategic in the way that we run C3 Leaders. I have a board of 12 people that have amazing corporate experience, and they bring that to the strategy and how we run C3 Leaders. And as president, I have very specific goals and objectives every quarter. And if I don't bring deliverables for those goals and objectives, I get fired. And that's great. I like that accountability, right? I work really well. Yeah, I work really well that way. And I appreciate that. So quantifiable data, it helps us to grow forums, to grow members, to fundraise, all that stuff, obviously quantifiable data. But really where the success for C3 Leaders is special is the impact that it has upon the community. Now that's where it gets really tough to measure. And the way go ahead.
Tell us some stories around that. Explain that.
Yeah. Further. So the way we have measured in the past and the way we're going to continue to measure it is through testimonials and stories from C3 members. That's the best way we can do it. Because what we like to see is a C3 member saying, I was at this point in my business and we were about to shut the doors, or we had just taken a 20% reduction in net revenue. And all of a sudden I went to my C3 forum and discussed it and learned something from the forum to then take to my business. And now after 2 years, my business is here. You know, that's just one example. Here's the funny part about the testimonials. Some of them are confidential, right? And so we can't, obviously all the information is confidential, but some of the testimonials that we've received, it's because members are open to being public information, which is great. But that's how we are measuring our success, is getting testimonials from members to be able to share and see, okay, how did this impact your business? How did this impact your home? How did this impact your community? Because we have a lot of C3 members that are passionate about other nonprofits that are pretty involved in community work and in their church, and besides just their business, right? C3 is definitely value driven to help make the business more profitable and all of those things, but it's also very concerned about C3 members growing in the areas of giving back to the community and being engaged in work that God wants them engaged in. So yeah, but anyway, to answer your question, a lot of the way we measure that is by talking to our members, getting testimonials that they're willing to share and record, and then sharing that with the community.
Are there any, or is there one of those stories you could share with us?
Yeah, totally. So Eric Drivdahl, so he's one of the owners of Jalot Hamas Drivdahl Architecture, and he shared his testimony actually at last year's golf tournament and dinner auction. And he was at a really kind of a pivotal place in his business when he was trying to decide to either go direction A or direction B. And he took it to his C3 Leaders Forum. And the advice that he got in the C3 Leaders Forum and the equipping that he got there made him take option A, which resulted in him owning more of the business and taking the business in an even better direction. And that's sort of that'd probably be a very moderate, not super exciting testimonial. There are more kind of crazy exciting ones, but that's definitely one of them. The forum that I was in back in 2013, some of the guys that were in my original forum, like one of them is Lance Boslaw. So Lance Boslaw is the director for Development Alliance Defending Freedom. And he's just gone big time. And I still, he's not so cool that he won't still talk to me, which is awesome. And so we'll catch up and talk. But I think he and I would both say that our 3 years spent in that C3 Leaders Forum really made a big impact on where we went in our careers. That was very instrumental in helping us as we kind of continue down this track of vocation, to make us not just better at what we were doing at that time, but to help us learn more about what do we want to do in the future and how do we get to that place in the future. That was a big deal too. Yeah.
So the other thing that really I've heard discussed a lot is the importance of understanding that a business is ministry. You know, that it's not a separate, oh, I do my business over here and then I do my church and my other things over here and that's my ministry, but that business is such an important ministry avenue for ministry. And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I just realized I was nodding to you and we're doing a podcast, so I need to be verbal in my responses to you. Yes, absolutely, work is ministry. If you ask Dr. Flett at SPU, she will tell you the same thing as you heard when she was on the panel with you at Vossler last week. That is something I think that is more and more common now. I think it used to be 30 or 40 years ago, it was a little tougher for people to wrap their heads around, okay, my work is a ministry. That was a concept that was a little harder to understand. Now it seems a much more prevalent topic in conversations that I have with Christian business owners. And then two, when I was working at Northwest University and I've worked at three different universities and talking with faculty, there'd be a lot of conversations around integrating faith and work. And that has become much more I feel like it's more understood now. And people are much more excited about the fact that they don't have to apologize to people that do work at a church or do work at a nonprofit. They don't have to apologize to me for working in a corporate for-profit sector. I think there used to be some shame involved with people that did work in the corporate sector. Whenever they would talk to a pastor or would talk to a nonprofit person, they would feel a little bit lesser than possibly, because like, oh, well, you're working in the quote unquote ministry, so you've given your life over to the service of God. You're probably a saint somewhere. And that's not the case, right? It's very much not the case in that. I do firmly believe that God calls each of us to work that he's uniquely gifted us to do. I love StrengthsFinder. So Gallup StrengthsFinder, I used to do that assessment all the time with students. And it was so powerful for students to hear what their top five strengths are and that those are unique to them and God has given those to them and no one else in that combination, in that order. And so being able to see people accept more, okay, my work, even though it is at a for-profit corporate sector, it is still ministry because of all the things I do throughout the day, I can glorify God through those things, through my conversations. And actually, even sometimes with some of these business owners that I talk to, they have more of an opportunity for quote unquote ministry in their business than I would, you know, in my nonprofit.
I think that's very true. Those who have eyes for that are doing an incredible job with it.
Absolutely.
Well, so Levi, if somebody's listening to this and is interested in like finding out about joining a C3 group, what should they do?
Yeah, the best thing to do would be to look at our website. So c3leaders.com. And then my email information is on there. And the best thing to do is to email me and just say, hey, I want some more information and I'll connect with you. I connect with every single person that is interested in C3. That's one of the things that we're very careful about with C3 Leaders, because our value is in our members, obviously. And so we protect those cultures and the forums that have been created. We protect our members by vetting everybody that wants to join, because in order to join C3 Leaders, you know, the first hard, fast thing is you have to be a Christian. You have to love Jesus Christ. You have to be sold out to him. That's the first step. The second step is you have to be either, you don't necessarily have to be a business owner. You can be a business leader, but then what does business leader mean? So business leader means you're semi-established in your industry and or company, and you have some sort of leadership role at the company, right? That's about as structured as I can give that, because it's a little vague and subjective what a business leader looks like. Basically, what that means is we want someone that we wouldn't really want to look at a person that is 21, still in college, wanting to join a C3 Leaders Forum. That doesn't really work. The reason for that is members have to be able to understand the language that the other members are using. And so a lot of the business leaders in C3, the reason that they love C3 is that the other people in their forum understand the language that they're using when they're talking about their company, when they're talking about their annual revenue, all those things. They have to be able to understand what that means. We're pretty careful too in the way we build forums. We build forums in such a way that where the other people in the forums are in a similar stage of life to you, along with one or two members that are older, because we found that a couple of older members in the forum make it the forum that much more powerful, because there's a lot of wisdom and experience there. And it goes both ways. You know, the older members wind up learning from the younger members too. But that's the best way. If they want to find out more, go to our website, email me. I will connect with you. That's the best way.
That's great. Thank you. And one last question here. You've worked with young people for many, many years and have a great love for that. What final thoughts or encouragement or challenge would you want to share with the younger generation?
Well, that's a powerful question. I love that question. Bob Beale taught me this. He said, you ask powerful questions, you get powerful answers. You ask shallow questions, you get shallow answers. And if you ask no questions, you get no answers. So that's a very powerful question. And one I haven't been asked, I don't know if ever. What I would say the most important thing, and this is just me speaking, I like to speak from my experience. So from my experience, what I would tell folks younger than me is every day I wake up and I get on my knees and I ask God to carry my care, and I say, God, I surrender to you. And I treat it like a daily exercise. And I really do believe that God loves me and is so involved in every aspect and detail of my life. And if I continually have that mindset where I am turning myself over to God in the morning and then throughout the day, I'm not as subject to fear and anxiety as I am if I'm not doing that. Now, that's not to say that fear and anxiety don't still come into play and pop up. They definitely do. But what I found is the biggest thing is I never, ever want to make a decision based upon fear. I have found that when I make decisions based upon fear, it's never a good outcome. Now, there's a few exceptions in life when a bear is running at you and Levi's afraid, right? He's going to run away. But
that's a good fear.
that's a healthy fear, right? But the type of fear that is anxiety, deceitful, you know, it's the bad fear. I really try hard to not make decisions based upon that fear and instead make decisions based upon love. And if I can make my decisions based upon love and not upon fear, I'm having a pretty good day.
That's a great thought. You know, it is such a concern, because I think younger people, as we've read, are full of more anxiety and more depression. I think, but more so than ever in the history that those stats have been taken, and it's a huge concern. And what you're just describing, to get on your knees and give that, you know, give that to God, let him take it, is such a powerful thing to do, and such a powerful habit to get into. Not even just like you said earlier, not just once a day, but throughout throughout my day, I need to be handing, because we all have those, right? We all have fears that tend to hang around, or lies that tend to, you know, manipulate our thoughts. And if we can recognize those, call them out and hand them over to God, as you're describing, then have him, ask him to fill me back up with his truth and his peace. It changes everything.
Absolutely.
So I love that. Yeah. What a great, great piece of advice for anyone, really, but this generation that's coming up that may need that more than ever. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, God bless you in this new adventure you're on. And thank you so much for sharing so openly and honestly with us today. And I'm just so encouraged by C3 and by the work you're doing, because businesses change communities. They're powerful. And when you help the leaders, the people who are in those businesses, to stay more closely connected to God and lean on one another for help and advice, it's a powerful, powerful thing. So thank
you. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having me. And I so respect and appreciate you, Karen. Thank you.
And me too, you, Levi. Thanks a lot. And we'll check in with you later.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the Take Root podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and share. To learn more about Centered and hear more stories of discovery and growth in Jesus, visit us at centered.org.